So we begin this morning in Afghanistan. However, there are signs all through the administration, and certainly were signs all during the campaign, that Afghanistan was going to be, in some sense, at the center of Barack Obama's foreign policy. About 17,000 new troops will be deployed there. Last week, President Obama said the U.S. was not winning. There have been a number of reports from individuals at high levels in the administration talking about how urgent and how central the Afghan conflict is, and instability in Pakistan. The whole issue of Afghanistan and South Asia is certainly central to world stability. Joining us now is Mr. Leslie Gelb, who's President Emeritus of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's the author of Power Rules, How Common Sense Can Rescue American Foreign Policy. It comes out next week. But he has an op-ed in the New York Times on this morning that really has a provocative view of what should be done in Afghanistan. First of all, Leslie Gelb, thanks so much for being on The Takeaway.
Good day.
You call for a U.S. pullout of Afghanistan. And first of all, lay out your argument, if you could.
Sure. I call for looking at a U.S. pullout very hard, because we haven't thought about it very hard. And the basic argument is this. I think it's virtually impossible to think of defeating the Taliban at any reasonable cost in any reasonable time. So the question then becomes, how do you deal with the continuing terrorist threat that might come from Afghanistan and Pakistan, because they're related? And the basic argument of the piece is that we shouldn't do what we don't do well, which is nation building and fight open-ended wars, and we should do what we do pretty well, namely building up people internally, deterring, containing, and forming diplomatic coalitions to deal with the residual problems. We can do that with our power.
Now, you know, a lot of the issues in foreign policy involve assumptions that leaders maybe are hesitant to question. It seems to me that the assumptions that are operative in this policy, both for the Bush administration and now for the Obama administration, is that somehow if we left Afghanistan, if the United States forces and NATO left Afghanistan, that a 9/11 and a buildup of al-Qaeda would inevitably repeat. Is that assumption being questioned or even looked at seriously by the Obama administration?
Yeah, I don't know that it is being seriously questioned, and that it should be, because the Taliban is not the same as al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda has been paying the Taliban off for years, and they have been allies, and they did. Al-Qaeda did attack us from Afghan soil, so we have to worry about it. But they're not identical organizations. No organization is homogeneous. And we need to explore, as President Obama says he will, differences among them.
Now, the other thing that's
interesting. Can I just add one point?
Oh, yeah, please, go ahead.
Because your question really is a good one. There may well be a continuing terrorist threat from Afghanistan and northwest Pakistan. But the fact of the matter is, we face right now terrorist threats from Pakistan, from Yemen, and from Somalia that are every bit as serious as what we might face in a future Afghanistan where the Taliban partially comes back to power.
And world leaders, and certainly in the Council on Foreign Relations publications, a lot of the analysts say that the world has changed since 9/11. And it seems to me that that argument really goes directly to what you're saying. Because the world has changed, we're not going to be in a situation to be caught unawares by what went on in Afghanistan one way or another, in the same way that we were, you know, 8-9 years ago.
I hope that's right.
And I mean, I do hope that's right, but it just seems to me that the idea of a terrorist threat building up in a place like Afghanistan again without us being able to observe it is preposterous.
Yeah, I think that's right. And as you know, we did observe it when it was building up before.
Right.
And the Clinton administration even took a missile shot at one of the training camps, just that we didn't take it seriously enough.
Right. All right. Now, a counterargument is published in the New York Times this morning alongside your op-ed from Max Boot, who takes a very, very different approach. And his idea is that we should stay the course in Afghanistan, number one, because it's a very winnable conflict, and number two, because, you know, there are real downsides to leaving Afghanistan unstable. What's your response to that?
Well, my response is I don't think it's winnable, but they make about the best case I've seen for its winnable. And the real issue is, you know, how long will it take, at what cost? And are there other equally difficult but effective ways of dealing with the problem? If we're going to be in there for another 10 years at ever-increasing levels, where we go up to, say, 100,000 troops, and we might, we're heading in that direction, and where the war spills over very actively on the ground into Pakistan, that's a huge price to pay, and I'm not sure that's the only or best way of dealing with the problem.
The notion of a huge price to pay in Afghanistan is something that, or is a narrative that we know quite well going back to the 1970s. The Soviet invasion went on for a very long time. The price that the Soviet Union paid was essentially the collapse of its entire system. I don't know if that's in the cards for the U.S., but we're setting ourselves up, it seems, to pay that kind of a price in Afghanistan. Would you agree?
No one since the Mongols has conquered that place. You know, for almost 2,000 years, everyone who's come in from the outside has been opposed by almost all Afghans. It really doesn't work. They don't like foreigners.
This is Farai here. I happen to have a few friends who have been in Afghanistan for different reasons. One was a photojournalist. Another one was there right before the Soviets rolled in. And she felt that there was this essential tension among some of the younger folks, especially, you know, and obviously this is a few decades ago now, that they wanted to reach out to the West. You are saying that it's a very protectionist country, protective, rather, of its cultural and perhaps religious identity. Are there ways to build bridges that make sense from a cultural perspective or at least a non-military perspective?
Yeah, and, you know, we're trying to do some of that now, but it's not easy. We essentially have a military presence there, and in order to deal with the security problem, inevitably, we end up killing some Afghan civilians, which only aggravates the problem. You know, sure, there are a lot of Afghans that like America and like what we stand for, and particularly women, you know, who want to have a chance to get back to where they were going in the 60s in that country, look to us as a protector, which makes the decision on what we do all the harder.
Well, Leslie Gelb, then let me ask you a couple of hard questions. David Petraeus tactically, triumphed in Afghanistan, certainly, even if you look sort of politically, what the reaction to the surge was in Afghanistan. Is it possible that Afghanistan will be Petraeus's strategic downfall? And some have said that Pakistan will be Barack Obama's Vietnam. Evaluate those two propositions.
Yeah. I think that's what they ought to be thinking about for sure. I wish them both well. I hope that whatever course they choose, it works. But I really worry that they've set the sights too high on eliminating a threat, or as President Obama says, to eliminate the potential for terrorist attacks from Afghan soil. That means military victory, in effect, and it's just beyond them. Are they worried about getting into their own quagmire, their own Vietnam, their own Iraq? Yes, they are. I think General Petraeus is confident he can do the same kinds of things in Afghanistan he did in Iraq. But let me remind you of this. David Petraeus is the first to tell everybody that even though the security situation in Iraq has improved immensely, that the situation there is still fragile and vulnerable, and it could turn around and go the other way again very quickly.
So there's certainly plenty of signs of caution, at least in the Pentagon. Whether there's a debate going on over a pullout in the administration, that remains to be seen. Leslie Gelb,
yeah,
President.
Okay. Let me just mention one
thing. Actually, we got to go. We got
a great day for this because the National Security Council is meeting today
to
discuss all
Friday,
the questions that you're asking.
Leslie Gelb, President Emeritus of the Council on Foreign Relations, thinking about a pullout from Afghanistan. Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.